we are Shkodra Elektronike, and we will represent Albania this year at Eurovision.
And this is Building Bridges Podcast.
Welcome to Building Bridges. I'm Dave, and this is a podcast for the rest of us. It's truly a pleasure to introduce today's guests on our podcast. You just heard a little medley of Albanian Eurovision songs there in the intro. Well, we've never featured a full episode interview with an artist representing Albania at Eurovision before, but that changes now as Shkodra Elektronike joined us from their homes near Milan and Venice in Italy, before heading back to Albania to do some more preparations for Basel. They will perform their FIK-winning song Germ, 13th in the running order of semi-final 1, just after San Marino, just before the Netherlands. So let's take a quick listen to some of their song. Kola and Beatrice were so generous with their time. We were really able to have a nice long conversation with them, so why not grab a cuppa and some snacks and just settle in and learn more about these amazing artists who have Albania in 9th place in the betting odds, which is a record for that country.
It's such a pleasure to have you here. You are the icons of Eurovision 2025 already. Everybody talks about Albania. It's crazy. How are you feeling, first of all, in these crazy times?
It's a crazy time, for real. We're fine, but we're living something very new. So every day we're learning new things, and we're making mistakes as me with your email.
No, it's fine. No worries at all. The most important thing is that you guys are here and that we are having this lovely chat. But maybe for the beginning, take us back to December 2024 when you guys won in a head-to-head race against Elvana in the first ever open voting in Festivali Kenge's history. What was going through your heads at the time?
not too much.
A big one.
Because from the emotion, everything so confusional for us, because we didn't expect at all even to be on the first places of the festival, I mean. And when we won, it was such a confusion everywhere. Even with the vote, we didn't understand actually how it works. So it was the vote from outside when Elvana won, then the vote of jury when we won, and after these two, Elvana was first, and then came the vote of the people in Albania and Kosovo, and we surpassed, we won. It was
confusing.
What is happening?
Yeah.
But we asked what we have to do.
So I suppose Eurovision wasn't the first plan, but promoting your new song Zierm at a time, right? So it wasn't the main idea to go to Eurovision, I presume.
No. We decided to participate to Festival Kangs just for presenting our music, you know, and our name. So we didn't expect to reach the Eurovision. And of course, Eurovision, it's pretty far from our, you know, we always played on the clubs, we make our music at home, and, you know, Eurovision, maybe some artists have a production behind them. We are alone. I mean, we are just three of us, me, Cole, and our manager, and that's all. So we didn't expect this, and of course we didn't look for this in our lives, you know. So
but I think this is what makes you guys so authentic and so popular as well by everyone, because, you know, it's your real authentic selves and your real music. You're not, you know, there are other artists that, you know, explicitly write for Eurovision to go on that stage, and you are just yourselves, and that's why it's working so well, I guess.
Thank you.
We hope. That's true that we just make our music in the way we like, how we feel, what we want to say with our musically and with the lyrics, with all of, everything. It's just our thing. It's a kind of, like Patricia said before, we are just three of us, like kind of artisanal, I don't know in English the right word.
Yeah, it's artistic. Yeah, it's fine.
Like a small shop. Yeah, you know that when you work in your shop and you do your things, and that's all. So if it works, we are really happy. It's just a little bit confusing to follow what is happening.
Yeah, I can imagine, but I have to make a confession. I'm a fan from the first minute. I saw your performance in the semi-final in Festival Ikengez, and I was like, okay, we need this song and this performance in Eurovision. And now, you know, since then, you've done so well. You've gained so many fans, I guess, and you're doing well in all the polls, even in the betting odds. You are in ninth place, which is very high for Albania. In the history of Eurovision, Albania has not been this high. Are you guys people who follow the odds and all the polls, the statistics, or do you try to stay away from all that?
Not us at all. Our manager.
Our manager updates us sometimes with screenshots of what is happening.
Yeah.
He tries to put us in his side, but we're not that, you know. I mean, for me, it's too anxious. I don't want to know anything. I mean, yeah. I don't feel it because I don't know. If I have to think about these things, I will not do what I have to do good. Mm. Wait.
So you can focus on music, which is the most important part, right?
For me, it's not too anxious. I just, can I say, I just don't give a shit about it. I'm not interested about it. Actually, I'm a little bit, I mean, in my phone, like how it's called,
notifications.
Yeah. Notifications. Come sometimes my eyes just... see something, but even on social, in my page social media, I haven't posted anything, for example, about it. I don't care about all this thing, and I'm not anxious. I'm not interested in it.
But even though you're trying to block all this away, is the love from the fan community still getting its way through? Have you been seeing the messages and the support from? Well, across Europe, really, we've talked to people from almost every country, and I mean, everyone's just enthralled about Zsér. They can't get enough of it.
Wow,
we are very grateful to obviously. I don't care to look what is happening, but I'm very grateful to all the fans. It's really, really kind of really strange for us to have all these fans, all this. People following us, making...
Oh, so...
people viewing us, three of you, together.
It's crazy, yeah. So many persons and with different ages. This is so amazing, you know? So we are so grateful, and we hope to honor these people, you know, with this stage we are going to reach, you know. Yeah.
And of course, I would say the main thing about getting to Eurovision is that there's so many people who, I mean, it's such a great platform. People can get in touch with your previous music as well, which is also one of those, Billboard Italia, among others, have described your music as post-immigrant pop. So can you maybe elaborate on what this genre means to you and how it influences your sound of Škoda Elektronika?
Go call.
Pop is means like popular music, not pop like a genre. Mm-hmm. Because we started, even in our name, the name of the band is Škoda Elektronika, we started all our release until now were traditional songs of Škoda, made with electronic sound, electronic instruments. So pop is popular music from popular music of Škoda. Immigrant because we are immigrants.
What's his name or her name?
Amos.
Amos. Oh,
the songwriter, Tori Amos.
Hello, Amos.
Oh my goodness. So to anyone just listening to the audio one, Beatrice just brought the
most beautiful little white perfect cat in the world.
Yes.
The screaming. Sorry, Cole.
What?
He was screaming, so I picked it
up. He was screaming. No, I don't know, maybe I finished. I don't remember now where I... But anyway, yes, popular, immigrant, because we both are immigrants. And post, because we are we have even Italian citizenship. We are from more than 20 years here. So we are not the first immigrants. We have been the first immigrants, but now we are not the immigrants already arrived in the Western country. We are here from a lot of time, so we are post-immigrants, pop.
So it's been tanti anni fa since you were immigrants, right?
Yeah.
Now.
Tanti anni fa.
Yeah, this is a really interesting topic because, of course, you come from Škoda, which is your name also saying, and you are immigrants in Italy. Has this shaped your identity and your music as well, you know, like the Italian influence as well as the Albanian influence as well?
Yeah, I think, yes, more than Italian influence, I can say the Western influence, you know. So both of us in... when we start playing music, not with Škoda, but in our projects, I think both we tried a lot of genres, different genres, Western genres. But I think for both of us, the Albanian music was like the gem, you know, mm-hmm. the beginning for our mind and ears as musician, let's say. So I don't know, I think Škoda Elektronika, I can say that for me is the mix of what I love, you know, music. I love the I don't know how to say it in English, Medio Oriental thing.
Yeah, Middle Eastern.
Thing, and I love the I don't know, the trip hop that call puts in our songs, or the hungry of the rock that we both love, you know, we both played. So I don't know, I found myself with this project. Mm-hmm. That's all.
So for those of us who aren't as familiar with Albania and Albanian music and culture, obviously, like, Škoda is the capital of northern Albania, essentially, and you've chosen the music from this part of Albania where you're from. So how would you say the music from that part of Albania is different from, let's say, the rest of Albania or even the rest of Europe? What makes it so unique that you chose to use it in your music?
It's Škoda, the music of the culture of Škoda is a mix of a lot of cultures, because in Škoda have been for the under the Venetian Republic, have been in the Middle Ages, even feudal Albanian prince. I don't know how to say, under the Turkish Empire. And the whole years that centuries that we were, the whole Albania were under the Turkish Empire, the people moved into this empire, so they bring their cultures around. The first instruments with whom the people of Shkodra has played the traditional music are all instruments, not only the people of Shkodra, the whole Balkans actually. Instruments that comes from Kurdistan, same things like this, from Persia, all this culture comes from Persia, Kurdistan, all these places. And the music of Shkodra is mixed, so you can hear a kind of Middle Eastern influences, more Anatole influences, Turkish influences, mixed with Western culture that is the Italian, mostly the Italian culture, the bel canto. The melodies are really singed very large and singed with this operistic voices has been always singed. There is the sevdalinke that are the traditional music of Bosnia, is very very similar, are close because we are really really close, so we have more or less the same cultural influences in Shkodër with Bosnian culture. So this makes it unique. Even the Romani. The Romani people who moved all around the Balkans, the Turkish Empire, they bring their culture, their way of making music into the Shkodra's culture, musical culture. So all this Shkodra is now is half of the city is Catholic and half of the city is Muslim.
Yeah.
Without ever problems between the two communities, we never had problems. We all the two communities make le feste religiose, come how
the celebrations.
Religious
celebrations. Yeah.
To each other. Even because they want to make party anyway, so so they approfittano delle feste di null'altro.
So yeah, it's great because you managed to take the best from, you know, from every influence of it.
Yeah.
You know, so
I forget, and this was the first idea. These are all these influences. Why not an electronic influence now? Just one more, it's not a big deal.
To put another one, another
yes.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Zierm. Like, is there any, like, particular story or emotion behind Zierm that you feel hasn't been highlighted yet, which you'd like your audience to understand? So what was the main idea of Zierm to sending it out to the world? What kind of message do you want to send with Zierm as a composer, and as a performer, and, you know, as somebody who would like to give the music to the world?
I don't know. For me, the opportunity of Festival di Kongs was to bring a song that talks about, I don't know, simple. As kindness, but I think I don't know. We are an example, you know. Just because we always do what we want to do, and we mesh up what we want to mesh up with our music or with our clothes, or I don't know. And I think that the biggest thing that happened at Festivali was that people choose a song, a different song.
Yeah.
Maybe I mean, we wrote this song with the idea of the Festival Les Congs. We have already an album, and it's pretty different. I mean, we wrote a song for a festival, so the structure of the song
We have an album that is pretty different. I mean, there are songs that are long, about 8-9 minutes. So we were not able to just even present in the Festival Les Congs. So we made the song, not to make a song for the festival, but to make a song to be accepted.
Yeah.
So with the chorus, with all these things, that can be a song, because the songs has not chorus, are 9 minute trip songs, so can be representing any kind of festival. And this song, how we are both of us that sing. I normally don't sing, just a little. This is the second, but the first really song that I sing is a big word. I can say sing. It's not singing my part, it's just saying things. But like even the lyrics and even the music has this, even we together, my voice and the voice of Batica, there is always this both sides of everything. I mean, for example, in the lyrics, Beatrice imagined this minute of everything, of kindness. This is this simple thing of kindness. And she imagined this minute where everything is going right. Everyone is kindness. No ambulances in the streets. She said, no children's cry, no wars, no everything. Okay. And I say the difficulty to reach this simple thing. I don't know if I expect. I mean, this is a simple thing, but really, really difficult to reach it. And the same as the music, we have a traditional element, but even electronic element. So we tried to make a simple song just for a festival, but without avoiding the complexity of the music, of the message, of everything, because the reality is complex. Everything is complex, so we didn't avoid it. But it's a simple song with all these complexities beneath.
But it also works. So this is also why I think it's all embraced by all the Eurovision fans, and they're all, maybe if we just made a little stop regarding the language, Albania was known for switching their songs into English in the past, and there was a lot of positive feedbacks after you guys decided that you're keeping Zerm in Albanian. Was that the main idea from the start? You stepped onto Festival Les Congs stage, so you said, you know, if that worked in Albania, it will work on the Eurovision stage as well. So no switching to English. Was that going through your minds while you won the competition?
No. I never thought to translate the song, you know, because it's not easy at all to translate the full song, in particular the gig part that call rap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the part is not written by me. It's written by Legi Gjeloshi, that is a contemporary visual artist from Shkodër, friend of us, the one who already made the cover of the single.
Mm-hmm.
But even the Beatrice's part is really hard to make it sound in English. And the other reason for me, it's because I'm lazy. I don't want to work.
No, but you see, this is the exactly same case when laziness is a good thing, because we love that you're keeping it in Albanian. So, you know,
laziness is my fuel.
Yeah,
that works amazingly.
Yeah, but you told us you're a very small team at just three people, as you said, and I guess you must be very involved in all the preparations that your delegation has. And I think RTSH, your broadcaster, has a lot of faith in you because they gave you a very high budget for Eurovision. And what are you guys most like working on right now at this moment? Like, you have to figure out how to bring the song to stage. What are you going to wear on stage? You know, all the pre-parties, like what keeps you busiest and what like are you guys working on right now? Consider going, talking about Eurovision.
The budget they gave us is especially the Ministeria Cultures, is just because we are three of us, so we need someone yeah. else to do staging everything, because we are not able at all to do it, yes. even to think about it. We have no experiences with television, with telecamera, how it
yes.
how it works, everything that is that has to do with television. We don't know anything, so we. There are the guys of Ombra. Beatrice can tell maybe yeah. better.
We have a creative agency from London. They are Italian, but they live in London, and their name is Ombra Shadow, and they're making our staging. Yeah, wow. So we saw
visuals with they are.
Lights, cameras, you know, this stuff, and I think it will be beautiful to see for the eyes. Yeah. And I don't know. The main thing we're doing, of course, are the traveling for the pre-party.
Yeah.
You know, we have to do the third, right? Now
in Amsterdam now.
On 5th April. We will go in Amsterdam. So, in the meanwhile, we're trying to do the other things.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you know, like
everything.
The clothes. And
you know, all this, for example, even these pre-parties, it's not just you go there. You have to buy the tickets, but it depends where we are. So, no one... No, we don't live in the same city. Beatrice lives close to Venice, I'm in Milano. I've also, our manager is close to Bologna, but sometimes he in Albania. Maybe sometimes we were in Albania. In during some our movements, when we went to... No, we had to do a pre-party in Stockholm that I don't know, I haven't... understand, but it was deleted.
Mm-hmm.
And, so we had all the tickets. We had to do all the tickets to go to Stockholm, but we were in Italy. But the things changed, so we were in Albania. We changed the tickets to Albania, but then the Stockholm party has been deleted, so we had to turn back. The most of time we are buying tickets for the whole Europe.
Let's change the destination.
Sounds very hectic.
Sending technical riders every time different, because every pre-party has their own organization. They want all the things in their own way, because they have a lot of musicians, so they can. Or everything. It's just a lot of mails and PDF files sending.
That's
so you're obviously based in Italy, and a few years ago Eurovision was in Torino when you guys were obviously writing music and doing gigs. Was that something that came up on your radar then? Like, were you aware that it was in Torino, and maybe did you start thinking, oh, maybe this is something for us in the future, or did you not notice it at all back then?
Not at all.
I not noticed it was in Torino. No, because the year when the Eurovision was in Torino, the year before, we had another song in the Festival di Cangas, but not played by us from another singer, mm-hmm. a song composed by us.
Yeah.
Called Ayam Yanuse, sung by Rezat Azmania. Yeah. And this year she won the third prize.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So she was close to go to Torino. That's because I remember that it was in Torino.
That's right. Yeah.
I forgot
to
the year. So
yes. No, I remember Torino because of it. Because Resarta won the third prize, so she was quite close to win to go to Torino.
But that was a really good song, actually. I remember it now, and it's
really?
Given that you wrote it now, it makes sense that why it was such a good song. You know, it all ends up.
But like, which one of you gets more nervous before going on stage? Who is more, you know, in the head thinking about what's going to happen on the stage in Basel, in Switzerland?
Obviously, Beatrice, because I don't do anything. I just say two things. I have no reason to be nervous, actually. It's not a big deal what I have to do.
Is that true, Beatrice?
Yes, of course. I'm the anxious part, always, yeah. But I think that non fare niente è difficile.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not so easy to do anything, you know?
But I'm really good at not doing anything.
I overdo.
Years of training. Of done doing anything.
So before we finish in English anyway, I mean, I'm sure the thought has crossed your mind, what might happen? Like, what would it mean if you could bring Albania its first win, or maybe even bring Eurovision to Shkoder? Could you imagine what that would be like?
It's not impossible to imagine. It's not possible to imagine this, you know. So I hope that we do the best, you know, not for us. Of course, we don't want to do shitty things on the stage, you know, because we don't want to ruin our name, of course. But most of all, I would love to do something beautiful for the people that voted us, and a lot of people. That's so incredible. It's still incredible. So let's hope to honor them.
Yeah. It would be great to go to Albania. The last time I was there was like in 2021. But like, I would really love to have your vision in Albania. I think that would be an amazing thing to do with all the friendly people and nice food and, you know, everything. Including, I mean, I would be totally fine with how do you call this, the traffic jam, which is, you know, between 6 a.m. and midnight, you know, you can't get anywhere. This is what I learned in Tirana back in 2021. If you need to go somewhere by car, which is 3 kilometers away during the day, it's like 40 minutes drive, you know.
Yeah.
There are some kilometers that it's easier to go by foot.
Yes, it is indeed.
Until, I don't know actually, but until 3, 4, 6 kilometers, it's better if you go by foot.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
You arrive sooner.
Yeah.
But you can come in Albania, even if Eurovision is not in Albania.
Of course. We will definitely do it because it's.
I'm going to live there now from next year.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I move Milano to Tirana. So I will just call me.
We'll come to visit.
Of course.
Come in Albania next year, even we don't win the festival. It's not important. But everybody in Albania, all together, during the Eurovision. Just in Albania.
If all the fans come, they're forced to have it in Albania anyway.
Yes, even if Albania is in France, for example, come in Albania.
Do the Albania vision.
Albania vision, that's good.
We definitely will.
Thank you for everything to everyone.
Thank you guys.
I ho fatto una traduzione veloce su ChatGPT. Jan, you didn't warn me that you wanted to do this, so fatto tutto veloce. Scusa, però. La canzone dell'Estonia, Espresso Macchiato, l'avete sentito? E cosa certo. ne pensate?
Certo. L'abbiamo anche ballata.
Ah, ok.
Non siamo tanto bravi. Dobbiamo ancora imparare il movimento.
Ok.
Oh, però ci siamo,
Siamo quasi.
Sarebbe un bel TikTok con Tommy Cash in Basilea, voi due con lui.
Sì. Ah, certo.
Sì.
Però noi abbiamo per ora, adesso con tutto il rispetto per Tommy Cash, noi abbiamo i nostri amici che sono i due fratelli fuori di testa islandesi, Voeb si chiama. Adesso siamo amicissimi, sono i nostri amici, perciò intanto siamo con loro.
Okay. Intanto siamo a posto.
Siamo a posto con gli amici, che loro bastano, sono i due, sono tanti.
No, è una collaborazione interessante tra l'Albania e l'Islanda.
Ecco, per esempio.
Sì. Allora... Lo sentite tutto l'amore che i fan di Eurovision ti dimostrano?
Certo, sì. Si sente tutto, tantissimo.
Sì.
Ah. Quasi imbarazzante, come dire.
Sì, essere... voi, cresciuti in Italia da emigrati, lontani dalla vostra nativa
Scuderi in Italia.
Sì, in italiano, sì. Ha avuto un effetto sulla vostra identità musicale e espressione artistica?
Sì, penso che sì.
Sì. Sì, noi abbiamo, ambedue abbiamo suonato in diversi gruppi italiani della scena,
diversi generi anche
nella scena underground, perché sto dicendo underground perché è importante sottolinearlo, nel senso che la scena underground la conosci se sei presente in quel paese, non è una scena che tu lo conosci tramite internet, alla fin dei conti è tutta roba che c'è bisogno, specialmente quando l'abbiamo conosciuta noi, che sono un po' di anni fa, insomma, però anche adesso la scena underground di una città, di un paese, ci devi essere, perciò ovviamente ci ha influenzato, insomma, da aver vissuto in Italia.
Da quanti anni siete insieme con questo progetto?
Dal 2019.
Ok. Molto bene. Pensate di riuscire ad incorporare tutte le vostre idee per lo staging per Basilea, o prevedete di fare delle modifiche con avete detto che c'è l'ombra, no? A Londra, che fanno il staging. Allora, cosa pensate?
Ma la nostra idea rimane quella del festival albanese. Nel senso, i nostri personaggi rimangono quelli, e anche quello che verrà fatto sul palco sarà molto simile. Il resto l'ha pensato Ombra, diciamo, il quadro dove verremo inseriti. Non credo ci saranno modifiche, non penso, poi non lo so.
Sì, perché non abbiamo ancora finito di farlo, però è che la cosa importante per noi è che rimarrà il concetto di quello che del dualismo, della complessità della cosa, che siamo in due, Beatrice la luce, diciamo, io sono un po' il buio, c'è questi contrasti, insomma, quello rimarrà. E i ragazzi hanno già un bel po' di robe, l'hanno preparate, però insomma è un po' ci vuole anche un po' ancora un po' di tempo.
È difficile o facile lavorare con l'UR, con questo staging? Se volete fare modifiche, è ancora possibile o c'è una data limite da quando non è più possibile fare modifiche?
Da quello che abbiamo capito, l'Ombra hanno presentato il 17, se non ricordo esattamente la data, all'Eurovision, cioè lo sappiamo che l'hanno presentato, sappiamo anche quello che hanno presentato, ma da quello che abbiamo capito è una volta presentata quella roba lì non puoi fare tante modifiche, forse niente, non lo so bene, però io ho capito che non si possano fare modifiche, anche perché se si potessero fare, dopo il video che tutti quanti mi chiedono di bruciare il giornale mentre faccio la mia parte, gliela chiederei come modifica, ma non credo che si possa fare.
Bene, bene. E c'è un messaggio che vorreste lanciare forse agli ascoltatori italiani che potrebbero votare per voi? 12 punti dall'Italia forse, o San Marino?
Sì, ascoltatori italiani, votate per noi, non per Tommy Cash, dai.
Bravo, bravo.
Noi siamo anche italiani, insomma, dai.
Dai, paghiamo le tasse.
Io sono andato in Albania, non pago più le tasse comunque.
Vabbè, fino a quando sei.
Finché sto qua.
Sì.
Sì.
Grazie, grazie.
How's
that, Jan? Is that what you wanted?
Yes, of course. Just, you know, throwing you into the water and you know. No, I think we will make nice little Italian version of that episode as well. So it's also for Italian listeners. This is what makes
it. It's hard when you don't give me
heads up.
Yeah. Like I teach at the university, so it's like just first year Italian. So like things in the classroom, where do you want to go on holiday? Like we don't talk Eurovision and staging and like, yeah. So I'm like, oh my God, what are all these words?
Have the pennies on the table, things like this.
Yes. Yeah.
Like us, English.
Like our English.
Like
yeah.
Our English. Yeah.
No, but I think everybody can agree that you did a great job with Davide. So it was really, really nice.
Yeah, my parents Perfect. Live in Italy, and I don't even speak Italian. I'm very a big disappointment.
Really?
Yeah, but he speaks 10 other languages, so it's okay if he doesn't speak one.
Too late for me. They live like in the north of Rome. Like it's called Campagnano di Roma. It's a small village in the north of Rome. Yeah.
It's really nice there. Yeah. The place of the nature is beautiful there.
Yes, yes.
Not from the place, it's because you are going not in Toscana, but you are just in the middle from Rome to Toscana. The hills, the nature is beautiful there.
I grew up in Umbria. Hmm. Umbria is
yeah,
so close to Lazio, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Middle of Italy, the green heart of Italy.
It's so beautiful. They don't need to go to the store because everything grows there. You know, all the vegetables, all the fruits, they just grow there.
I would scare you if I showed you my window. It's all snowing outside, so it's all freezing.
Really?
Yeah, wow. We had a warm March, but now April is cold. The closer we get to summer, it's getting cold. I don't know what. Yeah. But you said you're near Venice now?
I live close to Venice now.
Okay.
To be precise, I live... you know Dolomites?
Yeah,
of course.
I live there.
Well, I was going to say most of my friends are from Gorizia, Udine, Trieste.
Oh, okay.
So almost every summer I come to Friuli for at least a few days before I fly away and go somewhere else.
I'm close. Yeah. I live in the region Veneto.
Yeah.
But it's close.
Yeah, it's right there. Yeah.
There.
Lots of shopping in oh my God. The fortress city, the outlets. Oh my God, what's it called?
Palmanova? No.
Palmanova, yeah. Lots of ships to Palmanova.
I know.
That was Boris.
I live until few years ago in Padova, close. I know very well.
The monster.
But I've never been there actually, because when I moved to Milan, they already built it something like this, because Palano is quite new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
10 years, something like this, I think.
But there's I used to fly, or not I used to, but I fly, I mean, whenever I travel by plane, I have to almost every time fly from Venezia, because in Slovenia we don't have any normal routes to play, to go anywhere, you know, and it's literally Venezia, it's always a way to go. So this is one of my most often connections that I have with Italy, especially when I have to travel. So yeah.
In Slovenia, I have played a lot of years ago. I had a band with a Croatian guys from Croatia, and I played. I have a lot of concerts in Ljubljana in Slovenia.
Which band?
I'm in Slovenia.
Istrodeo was the name of the band.
But 15, 20
years ago, maybe.
Okay. I will Google them. Of course, I probably noticed that. But
it
just
was like my first band, Močvara. It exists, Močvara, something like this.
Močvara. Oh,
it's a place. Mm-hmm. All the kind of all together.
Mm-hmm.
This place where to where you make live concerts, but a lot of places. So in the same ex-military
probably yeah, it could be
kind of not occupied place, not mm-hmm. occupied, but something like this with a lot of clubs all mm-hmm. together, same carts. Metelkova, not Močvara.
Yes, of course.
Metelkova.
Of course. Yeah. Because Močvara is in Zagreb, I would say.
Močvara.
Yeah. This is why I was confused. But now when you said there's a lot of clubs at the same place, it's Metelkova, yes.
Metelkova, yeah. I slept as well there.
In a hotel, which is on Metelkova,
yes,
as well.
Hotel,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Celica.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes.
You see, there's... The world is so small.
The world is very small.
Yeah.
Perfect, guys. Thank you so much for taking your time. It was a real pleasure talking to you guys. We honestly wish you all the best with your preparations to Switzerland.
Thank
and
you.
We wish you as many fans as possible so you can, you know, go on tour around Europe and sold out all the concerts you'll have. So this is our mutual wish to you guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It was really... beautiful interview with this one.
And we'll see
you
in Basel.
Yes.
Yes.
Perfect. Yeah. Take care. Have a great weekend. Bye.
Bye.
Good luck.
Bye.
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 We can't thank Kola and Beatrice enough, although Jan certainly tried there at the end of the interview. So please let us know what you thought of our chat with Škodra Elektronike. We've received many lovely comments recently, in particular from our interviews with Marko from Croatia and Ciferblat from Ukraine. And be sure and check those out if you haven't already. They're not nearly as long as this interview was. And that's it for now. Thanks again for listening. We'll be back very, very soon with another act heading to Basel. We've got at least one more for you. Until then, if you're not subscribed or haven't added us at Building Bridges Pod on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, please do so. Leave us a comment. Leave us a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts as well. And you can always find out more about these interviews and some spicy Eurovision news on our website at www.buildingbridgespod.com. And that's it. So we'll see you in the next one. Bye-bye.